Like many others in the 1990s, Jean-Claude Van Damme started with a barrage of amazing films, which to this day are still legendary, whether it be Bloodsport, Cyborg, or tonight's film that we're going to be looking at, which is, of course, Kickboxer. This is a film which I think is completely underrated compared to the others. This is a great film, great cast. I think it delivers a more realistic approach to something like Bloodsport's idea of the Kumite, using Muay Thai kickboxing in this, and it's fantastic. We have a great villain in Tong Po, and of course from here it only gets better with, of course, we have Lionheart after this, or Wrong Bet as we know in Australia. What a great period of Jean-Claude Van Damme's career. He's coming up into, of course, his big time with, of course, Hard Target and Universal Soldier and Time Cop. This was the peak period of Jean-Claude's career, and we're going to enjoy and savour it tonight here on the Lethal Mullah Podcast.
I sit here waiting, contemplating what's the best day. Watching that you move in, I'm the Lethal Mullah. Wow, I'm the Lethal. Wow, I'm the Lethal.
Welcome back to the show, folks, for episode number 218 of the podcast. Here tonight looking at, of course, Kickboxer. One of the first of the Jean-Claude Van Damme films I saw after Bloodsport was this movie, and it's got a big history all its own, which we'll get into tonight. If you're a massive fan of Van Damme like me, you'll know, of course, just like Steven Seagal, the first five or six movies that Van Damme did, just like Seagal, that very, very progressively better films as they go along. You know, obviously Bloodsport, still a fantastic movie. Kickboxer, we're starting to see a little bit more of the ability of Jean-Claude Van Damme. Cyborg, probably less so, but in that sort of Mad Max vein. And then as we get into, of course, Wrong Bet, of course known as AWOL in the UK, and of course Lionheart in the United States, that's pretty much where he really started to find himself as a character, you know, the Van Damme that we know. And just like Chuck Norris and Charlie Bronson and many other action stars before him, you know, he really started to find what worked for him. And I think, by the time we get to something like Hard Target, that was the big time. That was really starting to pay off for him. But these first few films are really interesting. We get that, all the trademarks that we know. We're going to be looking at that tonight. Kickboxers is one of my favorites. I can put that on any time. I've always had copies of Kickboxer lying around, whether it's in VHS or DVD. Luckily enough now, Blu-ray. I don't believe there's a 4K edition yet, but prove me wrong. At the same time, these are great flicks, you know. You've got some great characters in this, which we're getting into. I think the biggest one is, of course, you know, Mitchell Quissey himself playing, of course, Tong Po. But at the time, cast as just Tong Po as Tong Po, because they really wanted to get that mystery out there that Tong Po was a real living kickboxer, you know. And that's half of the charm of this movie. They're really starting to, I think, get something together here, which is only going to get better as it goes along. Obviously, this has been something that kind of fits in that mold of Bloodsport, something that was kicking around before Bloodsport, even, by Marc Desailles. But at the same time, this is, you know, going beyond that as well. It's got an interesting history, which we are going to get into tonight. But let's celebrate what it is to be Jean-Claude Van Damme, folks. I mean, this guy has done such an amazing myriad of films, right up to Double Impact as well. I mean, there's another one, we've looked at here before, but I think still merits more looking at, because, I mean, that's meant to have had a sequel at one stage. Sheldon Lettich was writing. I don't think it ever came to pass, unfortunately. Obviously, we would have had a film. At the same time, great, you know, to see Van Damme playing off himself. You know, it takes a certain amount of balls as an actor to be able to do that. But you know what? He did it well, didn't he?
Hi, this is Tom Caldwell from Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast on the Fandom Podcast Network, inviting you to check out our show. Once a month, we release an episode about the films of the great master of suspense, Alfred Hitchcock. You can find us on Facebook at Hitchcock Good Evening, on Twitter at Good Evening Pod, and along with myself and Brandon Shea Mutala and Chris Haig, we bring you a fun and friendly show that you can enjoy alongside your viewing of the films of Alfred Hitchcock. On behalf of the program, I wish you good evening.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy has many a thing to say about deep thought. And deep thought itself has many a thing to say about the guide. But who are going to give you a guide through the maelstrom and enormity of the guide itself? Hosted by two unexpected travelers, the Lethal Mullet, all the way from Quinlan's Cantina in the Milky Way, and of course, Dan the Man from Birmingham. All on the other side of the water, they have hitched a ride and come to Ursa Minor. Tell you all about the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which you can find whenever you find good podcasts.
That's right, folks. Check out the brand new show, Deep Thought Life, Douglas Adams and Everything, monthly on, of course, the Lethal Mullet Network at lethalmulletnetwork.podbean.com or on the socials at The Lethal Mullet. You can also check it out on YouTube very soon on the Spacebook Network, hosted by the one and the only co-host here, Dan the Man from Birmingham, Dan Hadley. All here. And don't panic, we'll be back.
G'day, man. How you going? Welcome to the Lethal Mullet Network, where you'll find all these amazing shows and more. Where you'll find the Lethal Mullet Podcast, a celebration of action cinema from the 80s, 90s, and beyond. You'll also find Making Treks, a Star Trek fan podcast, where I'm joined by my amazing co-host, Mark Newbold, into a deep dive of Star Trek. You'll also find Mullet and Kilt, a look at music, where I'm joined by my dear pal, Darth Elvis. And where you can also find the Mullet Guild, a look at the Dune universe. All here on, of course, lethalmulletnetwork.podbean.com or on your favourite podcatcher. You can find us there. You can also find all these shows a week later on, of course, the one, the only Fandom Podcast Network, FPN, on fpnet.podbean.com. Don't forget to also follow us on socials. There's, of course, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at the handle at the Lethal Mullet. We'll catch you out there and enjoy your action cinema.
Oi, how's your man?
Welcome to the dojo. Leave your shoes outside the door.
It wouldn't be a kickboxer show without talking about a little bit of the martial arts, in particular some experiences I've had with Muay Thai and also with kickboxing in general. So my background in martial arts is predominantly Okinawan and Japanese. So a lot of it obviously in the backgrounds of Daitaru, like Jiu-Jitsu and some of the Jigan and obviously Shotokan Karate. But I've also had a chance to work in amongst some other schools of martial arts as well. One of those being a hybrid martial art, which was both Muay Thai and also just straight up basically kickboxing. So kickboxing is, you know, obviously a little bit more regulated with obviously some safety tips, you could say, for when you're fighting and stuff like that. Muay Thai the same to a certain extent, but obviously there's a lot more leeway with Muay Thai when it comes to elbows and knees and that sort of stuff. You know, when it comes down to it, the amount of techniques and stuff that you've got there, it's not a whole hell of a lot. And it's the same with karate, to be honest. You know, like, you look at the Kihon, the basic techniques in karate, other striking arts like Kung Fu, Kali, all those different styles. You know, there's only so many techniques itself when it comes down to the basic strikes, blocks, all that sort of stuff, kicks. But when it comes down to it, it's also the fitness and obviously, you know, the power, the precision, the accuracy, and just the speed in which you can get these techniques up there. Now, I've got to say, I have immense amount of respect for the art of Muay Thai. I mean, for what, particularly the punishment that those guys go through in the ring, let alone just learning the style, which is a hard style. You know, you've got to be really conditioned to do Muay Thai. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're in the world or whether you actually go to Thailand to do Muay Thai. I can tell you now, you need to be super fit and conditioned. You know, it's not like, I mean, like boxers, I guess, to a certain extent. But you've got the added part of, you know, obviously the elbows, knees, legs in general as well. So there's all these different parts to add to it. And yeah, I've had a small amount of training in it, and I would say I wasn't the best at it. Certainly not my my area of expertise, mind you. I'm not the most naturally flexible person either, which is why the grappling arts definitely suited me better. And even karate, to a certain extent, you know, is really good for the you know, my physique is built towards that. But I think you know, when you look at Muay Thai, you know, I think that's just one of the most direct styles of martial arts you could possibly get. And I can see why it's, you know, it's very popular. Still to this day, it was heaps popular in the 90s. The late 80s and early 90s was when Muay Thai got really massively publicly aware, I guess is the thing. You know, we had some great fighters. Even in this, obviously this movie, we've got Dennis Alexio, which was one of the big names back then. Even from Australia, you've got Stan the Man Longitas, who was huge at the time. Obviously, there's a lot of Australian fighters that were in that, that time frame too. So Muay Thai itself, I think, you know, just the speed, the defense, the conditioning is part of your defense, folks. I mean, you're getting smashed up the side of the body, particularly the legs. You do a lot of leg checks in that style, which, you know, is carried on towards even GKR, which I'm doing now too. So huge respect to a style which is, you know, now going back to the traditional style of watching it on when Ong Bak started with Tony Jaa, who's just a phenomenal martial artist. And as you guys have all asked, you know, we will definitely satisfy you, the Mulleteers, with a look at Ong Bak and a few of the other films that Tony Jaa has done in the next couple of months as well. All here on the Lethal Mullet Podcast. Alrighty, mate, time to go down to the pub for a pint, a chat, action movies and more, here on the Lethal Mullet Podcast. Tonight we're chatting about the 1989 American martial arts movie by David Wirth. Directed this film is, of course, starring Jean-Claude Van Damme and, of course, Dennis Alexio, who was a former world kickboxing champion, who plays Jean-Claude Van Damme's character's brother. It's an interesting movie, folks. Based on a screenplay by Glenn A. Bruce, story by both Marc Dessau and Jean-Claude Van Damme, and produced by Marc Dessau as well. Starring in the top four, we've got Jean-Claude Van Damme, Dennis Alexio, Dennis Chan, and of course, Mitchell Kissy. Cinematography by, of course, John Cranhaus, edited by Wayne Warham. Music by Paul Herzog. And this production was put together by Kings Road Entertainment and, of course, distributed by the Cannon Group. It was released on the September 8th, 1989, folks, and on a budget of $2.7 million, it did $50 million at the box office. So you can see this is a bit of a success. Not just a bit, a lot of a success. So for a low-budget film, to do this is huge. And, you know, it is an amazing freaking film for what it is. You know, it's a fight film, it's a training film, kind of like Bloodsport to a certain extent, and was certainly something that was doing the rounds at the time that Bloodsport was trying to get out there too. And personally, I think a better film than Bloodsport, because we really get to spend a bit more time with Van Damme, but at the same time we also get to, you know, we still got a great villain, just like Bolo Jung's character Chong Li. We've got in this one Tong Po. And obviously, the two main fighters in this, Jean-Claude Van Damme and, of course, Mitchell Kissy, or Muhammad Kissy, is also in some of the interviews known as well. You know, good buddies all the way from Brussels when Van Damme was first breaking into movies.
And obviously Van Damme is a karate exponent of the Shotokan system, trained there and did obviously tournaments and stuff like that over in the country. But obviously too, we've got Quissy, who's a boxer and also done martial arts as well. But of course, he's known as a contender over there, as a, you know, a fighter, and quite a good boxer from all reports as well. So we're going to go into that tonight. We're going to talk about some of the cast, and obviously it's an interesting movie. Just the story is fun. You know, obviously it is a bit of a revenge tale as well, and it was the basis for an absolute shit ton of sequels. This movie has had reboots as well, starring Van Damme as a different character who's sort of taken over the mentor role that we get Dennis plays in this as well. So let's have a look at the story. So Kurt Sloan is the younger brother of Eric Sloan, who's the heavyweight kickboxing champion currently. And he's going around the world, basically going in prize fights and stuff like that to, show off his skills. So they've done a successful title fight. And from here, they're basically enticed by, all the news outlets and media to go to Bangkok and actually see what real kickboxing comes from, which is obviously Muay Thai kickboxing. And Thai, obviously very different from American kickboxing, or kickboxing worldwide that we know. Heavyweight kickboxing at the time was regulated by obviously a lot of rules and things that you can't do in the ring. Just like, modern mixed martial arts or UFC, all that sort of stuff. There are rules in there for different reasons. Obviously, for the safety of the fighters, for the fight to go longer, because at the end of the day, these are events that are usually pay-per-view and stuff like that on cable TV at the time. It's like anything. You want to actually get your money's worth if you're paying a ticket to see a prize fight, yeah? So same idea. Anyway, Eric and Kurt then travel to Bangkok, and there they get to see Tong Po. Now, of course, Dennis doesn't see Tong Po as a contender to his title whatsoever, or even a serious kickboxer. You know, obviously coming in as a champion, he is, as Eric, he is the reigning supreme. But of course, Tong Po, who's known as the Tiger of Bangkok, is the undefeated fighting champion, Muay Thai in the country, in Thailand. And of course, what ends up happening is they have a fight. And even we get to see Kurt, who's going around the bottom of the center, grabbing ice and water and stuff like that, ready for the fight. And he sees Tong Po in his own dressing room, smashing the side of his leg up against a pillar that keeps moving. And obviously, that's not going to happen in reality, but it is to demonstrate just how powerful the legs of these fighters are. And they are incredibly conditioned fighters. Of course, Eric's cocky, goes in the fight not knowing how these guys fight and how obviously the rules are completely different. And considering against kickboxing, it looks like a dirty fight. But no, it's just a different form of martial arts. Eric gets beaten really badly. And this is where he's about to go to the ground. And of course, Kurt throws the towel in to say, look, fight's over. Tong Po kicks the towel out of the ring. And then of course, hammers an elbow into the back of Eric, and of course severing his spine. So from here we get to see Eric and Kurt being taken out of the center. Kurt of course wondering, okay, well, am I going to get my brother taken to a hospital? But no, they're just left literally on the sidewalk. Enter in comes a new character by the name of Winston Taylor, who's an ex-US Army Special Forces soldier, who comes in and basically helps them by taking Eric to the hospital. From here, of course, they get to know Winston, and Winston's basically a little bit of a fix-it guy who is now living in Thailand and obviously takes odd jobs here and there. He's kind of a lovable rogue and scoundrel, all that sort of usual stuff. From here, Kurt vows to avenge his brother and go against, of course, Tong Po. He goes all around Bangkok and Thailand looking for, of course, a Muay Thai teacher. But everywhere he goes, all local fighters laugh at him. He's mocked by all the teachers. And that's where, of course, he meets Shen Chao, who's one of the most famous Muay Thai teachers or crew in, of course, Thailand. And, of course, when, of course, he meets him, Uncle Shen looks at him and goes, I don't know. We're gonna, and he puts it through a bunch of tests. So Winston takes him out to Xian, meets him, and of course, after this, Kirk is told by Xian to go to, of course, the grocery store where he will see his niece and, of course, get the groceries for lunch, dinner, and all that sort of stuff. From here, he meets a bunch of crooks who are under the pay of Freddie Lee, who's basically a racketeer in the neighborhood, and basically he's got all the different businesses under his thumb, and of course doing the whole protection racket thing. And from here, of course, Mai Li we meet, because is Xian's niece, can't stand it because that means that Freddie Lee will come around and harass her business afterwards. After, of course, Van Damme's character has kicked the living daylights out of them. From here, of course, this leads to the training, of course, of Kurt Sloan under Uncle Xian's guidance. And there's some great scenes. Obviously, we've all seen the montages. I think it's a better montage than Bloodsport, personally. I think it's really well done. And of course, we get to see, you know, some gags that are quite funny. We get to see the splits done a different way than Bloodsport. If anything, a lot of it's Shotokan, folks. There's little bits of Muay Thai in there, but you know, we are showcasing the talents of course, Jean-Claude Van Damme as a martial artist. From here, of course, we get to see Freddie Lee starting to put his sort of stabs into things and try and find out about Sloan and why is he fighting, you know? And from here, of course, Freddie Lee has put one of his fighters up against, of course, Van Damme's character, and it's basically a complete wipeout of Freddie Lee's fighter. From here, of course, then they are pitted up against each other, Tong Po versus Kurt Sloan, and it is one of the better fights, of course. Now, of course, the fight is hampered by the fact that Tong Po gets two of his goons to go and grab Mai Li, and of course, she's beaten and raped by Tong Po. This is all kept quiet so that Kurt can focus on the fight, but of course, once he finds out about it and takes the beating that Freddie Lee's given to him, even after he's then kidnapped, of course, his brother, he's told that, you know, if he doesn't take the beating, his brother will get killed. From here, of course, he's freed by Winston Taylor and, of course, Uncle Xian, and the fight commences. What's great about it out of this is we get to see, again, two good pals who know how to fight incredibly well in their respective styles, fight it out on screen, and it's really well done. I think the fight choreography on this one, plus, you know, just the sheer Van Damme-ness of the fights in this film are far better than Bloodsport. So that's the basis of the film. Let's have a look at, obviously, some of the characters in it. Of course, Jean-Claude Van Damme playing Kurt Sloan. Now, we know a lot about Van Damme, but for those folks out there tonight who don't know too much about, of course, Jean-Claude Camille François von Vorenberg. Yeah, it's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it? But that's his name. That's his real name. Was born 18th of October 1960, and of course, known as a stage name is Jean-Claude Van Damme, Belgian actor, martial artist, filmmaker, fire choreographer, and of course, Shotokan martial arts stylist, folks. And I'm sure he's done a lot of other stuff by now as well. He's part of the Belgian karate team, won the European Karate Championships back in 1979. And of course, in 82, came out to the United States to try his luck as an actor, and after odd jobs here and there, would break into the Cannon offices and of course go, yes, I can do Bloodsport. And of course, they came out in 1988. From then, of course, we had a succession of amazing films, particularly in 89 through to about 1992 was the classic run. So we had Cyborg, Kickboxer, which we're talking about tonight, Lionheart, Death Warrant, Double Impact, Universal Soldier, Nowhere to Run, my personal favorite, Hard Target, Time Cop, Street Fighter, Sudden Death, The Quest, Maximum Risk. And then from there, obviously, he had a bit of a decline, but there was a great crime drama called JCVD, which came out in 2008, and really put him back on the mark. Of course, it's got a semi-true story, semi-not, Die Hard in a post office, if you like, in Belgium, and I really loved the passion that the filmmakers had for, of course, putting Van Damme in there. And of course, then he's had some great roles in Kung Fu Panda, obviously the Kickboxer reboots. He was in The Minions, The Rise of Gru, and of course, The Expendables number 2 is Villain. That's right, Villain. Of course, he had Scott Adkins working with him in that one too. Scott Adkins seems to have joined him a number of times, and you know, you got to give it to obviously Scott. You know, he got a chance to work with one of his heroes, which is of course Jean-Claude Van Damme. So he was born in obviously over there in Brussels. And he has a very supportive family who have obviously loved to see him get into, of course, martial arts and stuff like that. He began at the age of 10. His father took him into a Shotokan karate system. And he's done both kickboxing and Shotokan. Obviously got his black belt in that style. And that was at the age of 18. And of course, from here, he also started lifting weights to improve his physique. Now, Van Damme's known for, of course, his great flexibility. Now, he can do the splits. I mean, it's shown in a number of different ways that you can see that. And we can definitely see that he's brought in that into, you know, not obviously before that, he did ballet from the age of 16. So 2 years of that before he got involved in lifting weights and stuff like that. So obviously he'd done that and then brought into that the conditioning and of course the strengthening workouts that we get to see him. And of course he got Mr. Belgium bodybuilding title on the top of all that. So it just goes to show you the you know, you put two of those things together, you can still be extremely flexible but also quite naturally muscular. And he was a natural bodybuilder, which I think is fantastic. And he's always had that great symmetry as a bodybuilder. Now, obviously, too, with that, he's taken up some other martial arts. Years later, he took up Taekwondo and, of course, Muay Thai as well. So, yeah, there's obviously that background, too. He's had a great career when it comes to film, and obviously, we get to see him in a number of different stuff. I think the big one for a lot of people was not really knowing exactly what he was doing beforehand. So, he actually was in Corey Ewan's big hit, No Retreat, No Surrender, which we've covered here before. Great film, folks. And of course, that was Kurt McKinney up against Van Damme. And Van Damme really got a chance to show off, again, all those great skills that we know him using. Of his two, Black Eagle was another one around about the same time as Bloodsport, which is interesting. You know, it's definitely something that, you know, Shokosugi, who was huge at the time, he was the big star, obviously, those ninja films for Canon. And just around that was a huge part of it, too. But also, he got a chance to work with, of course, you know, Chuck Norris. He was a training partner and part of the stunt crew on Mission Missing in Action, which was great, too. Obviously, too, at one stage in 87, he was also on the set of Predator, where he was originally going to be cast as the alien. And you can even see some footage of him in a very different style of Predator suit. And, of course, it was meant to have this crazier design before we got the one that we got to see Kevin Peter Hall do a little bit later. And of course, he didn't have any regrets about the role, but he got a chance to obviously be alongside some of the action greats of the time, you know, Apollo Creed himself, Carl Weathers, and of course, the great Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, what a time coming up in the early days of the 1980s.
And I've been working long, long, long days ahead, working in front of a VHS. From 1980, from the 90s to the 2000s, there's some damn good films. From Arnold to Sly to Jean-Claude, we cover all of those flicks. You have to be a man and have to have a mullet flicking out all behind your ears. Just get the feel, steel between the wheel, and those that are worth it. I've been working long, long, long days ahead, sitting in front of a VHS. From Arnold to Sly, Van Damme to Lundgren, you know Lethal will be covering here. Cheers, folks. Enjoy.
Obviously, there's a number of episodes of the show which you can see us cover more of Jean-Claude Van Damme, but if we do, we'll be here all night, folks. We want to talk about some of the others, obviously, too. Now, Dennis Raymond Dick, or better known as, of course, Dennis Alexio, was born on March 12, 1959 in California. And he's known in the karate circles, or in this case, the big circles of kickboxing, if you like, as Dennis the Terminator Alexio, also the Menace and the Portuguese Man of War. Now, he was quite a presence when it comes to kickboxing and stuff like that too. He went up to, you know, so many different martial artists and styles and stuff like that. He used boxing skills. He had a spinning back kick that he had, Muay Thai style roundhouse kicks. He was quite an impressive fighter for the time too. I mean, you just got to get into some of his record to see what he's done. You know, he's had both a boxing record and a kickboxing record as well. Interesting to have both of those, you know, as part of obviously what he's done. Obviously been involved in a number of other different martial arts. He'd done some training in Kajikembo. He played American football. He was a linebacker in that style of football. I'm not sure about that style of football, so I don't know what the linebacker does. He also done some Tang Soo-do as well, and obviously too got into the boxing and Muay Thai as well, part of his repertoire as a kickboxer. So he had a career starting from about 1980 to 83, where he debuted, and was in both light heavyweight, cruiserweight, and in the world championships from 84 to 86. And then from 87 to 91, he went into the heavyweight divisions as well, which is quite interesting too. Now, obviously, he's had a tangle with an Australian fighter, and this is, of course, Stan Longides. Stan the Man Longides is obviously one of our most, you know, popular martial artists, or in this case, kickboxer, back in the 90s. You know, in Blitz magazine, which was the big martial arts magazine out here, he was all over it. Not obviously to the fights that they were doing back in the 90s here in Australia, and particularly in Melbourne, in Victoria. They had a fight in December 6, 1992, which is the ISKA International Rules title for the Heavyweights Championship. And of course, Longides was a tough, hard-hitting fighter. He hit Alexio with a right low kick, causing Alexio's fibula and tibia to break. And the fight lasted just 15 seconds. So there you go. It's a tough one. Alexio had a manager too, which is, of course, Bob Wall at the time. Of course, very famous himself too. But I think in kickboxer itself, you know, not to go too much further, and Dennis has got an interesting history all his own as well. I think just, an amazing, fighter just for this film alone. It's great. Next one, of course, is Mitchell Quissy. Better known now as Muhammad Kisi, as he's been on Viking Samurai's channel having an interview. It's a great interview if you get a chance. Big shout out to David on that channel. He does a fantastic job on YouTube, and obviously chatting to all the greats, and it seems to be doing incredibly well. He was born in Morocco and, of course, moved then to Brussels, Belgium, and became a very good friend with, of course, Jean-Claude Van Damme through some of the gyms and stuff they train in. Went in to study Shotokan karate, Muay Thai, and kickboxing. But, of course, he's a boxer, and a bloody good one, too. Obviously, he went to the United States, and back in 84, he went into the Breaking film, and he was in that with, of course, Van Damme. And, he's got a quite interesting career all his own. Started in Breaking, then went to Bloodsport, Kickboxer, Lionheart. Kickboxer 2 is Tong Po. He's also in Blood Match to the Death, Terminator Woman, Extreme Force, The Falkland Man, Burra, The Heart of a Lion, Kickboxer Vengeance. He doesn't play Tong Po in that. He's a man in cell, uncredited role. Gara Mortal and Out for Vengeance, which is just done last year. Obviously, the character of Tong Po is, you know, as ubiquitous as something like, of course, Chong Li and others. You know, it's just a great villain. Incredible villain, if anything. And I think, the fact that he is Van Damme's good mate, who came over to, of course, the United States, it just shows that, you know, he was, you know, like Van Damme, wanting to create something that was just, big for the time too, which I think is fantastic.
Now, one of the key things in this too, this film's got some great music, folks, which we're going to just about to talk about. And that is, of course, Paul Herzog did the great score for the film, but also had some great stuff in there by, of course, Stan Bush. Yes, Stan Bush, known for, of course, doing some other soundtrack work. Obviously, the big one from, of course, Transformers, the movie, the animated movie, which came out in the 80s as well. Now, this movie's been out on many different formats. VHS was the first format I saw it on, and of course it was R18+, in the Australian New Zealand market, by Palace Entertainment and the Movie Group. And it was also brought out in DVD I think it was the late 90s it came out in that one too. It did really well, obviously, in all forms, and now is available. I got the US edition on Blu-ray, which is just fantastic. Obviously, there's a bunch of films that, went past this one. Obviously, the big ones, Kickboxer 2, 3, 4, and the fifth one, Redemption, Kickboxer 5. Mark Dacascos took over the lead at one stage there, but the majority of it was done by Sasha Mitchell, which played David Sloan, the third brother, the one that's not mentioned. And of course, had Tong Po back. Mitchell Quissey came back for that one. The second one's not too back. It's called Kickboxer 2, The Road Back. It has flashback sequences in it too. Kickboxer 3, I can't remember seeing, but I did see 4 and 5. And at one stage, I think it's in the fourth one, Kamel Krefar, which is another friend of Van Damme's and of, Mitchell Quissey. He comes in and plays Tong Po. Now, I do believe he's a little bit shorter than Quissey, so it's a little bit different. It's still the same idea that he's still the most badass Muay Thai fighter out there. But also, too, there was a reboot which was done in about 2016. There's been a couple of, I think it was a sequel as well on top of this. It is called Kickboxer Vengeance, and Van Damme does feature in that one, too. Dave Bautista, I believe, played their version of Tong Po as well. Great series of films. Folks, this is one that's near and dear to my heart. I love it. It's, I think, one of the Van Damme's best at this time. This gets a 4.5 out of 5 on, of course, the one, the only, Lethal Mullet Podcast.
All right, lights, camera, action. Now, where's the mullet? Where is he? Is he coming in by chopper again?
And now, live from Quinlan's Cantina in the Gold Coast of Australia, it's time again for your dose of action cinema history from the 80s, 90s, and beyond with the Lethal Mullet Podcast.
Oh, get out of mine, there you go.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. Here are the other great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. Culture Clash, where we discuss the latest in entertainment and pop culture. Blood of Kings, our show covering the entire Highlander universe. Couch Potato Theater, we celebrate our favorite movies. And Time Warp, our fandom flashback show discussing a year in movies and our favorite retro movie, TV, and pop culture topics. Good Evening, discussing all things Alfred Hitchcock. Hair Metal Podcast, we cover the rock metal music of the 80s and early 90s. Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, discussing the time-traveling Doctor Who universe. Lethal Mullet, an action film podcast, covering the 80s, 90s, and beyond. Also, check out the Lethal Mullet Network for more great podcasts. What a Piece of Junk, our Star Wars podcast. Making Treks, a Star Trek podcast, with a deep dive into the final frontier. The Fandom Show, our Fandom Podcast Network live YouTube show discussing the hottest topics in fandom. The True Believers MCU Podcast, discussing the Marvel Cinematic and Television Universe. Union Federation, our Star Trek and the Orville show. And we're proud to welcome the BQN Network to the Fandom Podcast Network. Please visit our friends on the BQN Network, a Star Trek Universe podcast that also includes your favorite topics, movies, history, superheroes, and more. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on YouTube. The Fandom Podcast Network is also on all major podcast platforms. The Fandom Podcast Network audio master feed is on Podbean at fpnet.podbean.com. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.